From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. After the first week of school in Juneau, families are reporting highs and lows with the all-distance learning start of the year. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
I'm Jeremy Shea with KTOO. After the first week of school in Juneau, families are reporting highs and lows with the all-distance learning start of the year. For some kids, video conferencing doesn't come naturally.
See, I'm Beckett.
I'm Beckett.
And tell them what grade you're in, what school you go to.
I'm third grade and I go to JCCS.
He has not been a fan of Zoom.
That's Jen Walker and her son Beckett. The 8-year-old is in third grade through Juneau Community Charter School. Beckett shares a little about his schoolwork and his day, which included a separate Zoom session earlier.
Read a little bit, Garfield.
He did a hands-on math assignment.
Just cutting out things. Blocks. Paper blocks.
And he rode his bike, or in the super jargony words in sample schedules the district published, he did an additional asynchronous outdoor engagement activity. So far, he doesn't seem to have strong opinions about school this year. But his mom says he's doing well, with some parental help. Maura Landau is a single mom with a fourth grader at Harborview Elementary School. She says her son is starting out well.
Well, he's excited. He had a really good first day. His teacher is really wonderful. She made a really wonderful welcoming.
That's him. His beers must be burning in the next room where he's doing his schoolwork.
Welcoming setting. And so he's pretty excited. Yeah, he's liking it. It's just me.
She says she isn't ready to give up on the dream that school from home will be as easy for her as school at school. She says the school district has been on top of technical support, but it seems like she'll still have to help out a lot.
We can't just like set it and forget it. We can't just like put him on the Zoom and walk away and he's got his full day of schooling. That's not how it's going to work.
In the living room, she's got her work from home desk set up next to his desk. Her son's day is more structured than it was last spring when the pandemic led Governor Mike Dunleavy to close school buildings. Schools pivoted to things like pre-recorded videos and electronic assignments, with some short sessions of live instruction over video conference. Landau says for her son, it was basically an early summer vacation with some school-related Zoom meetings to stay connected.
And part of it was that, you know, we still were, as parents, were going huckledy-buckledy on our full-time schedules, and they're just, you know, it just wasn't room to deal with kind of adding more. I think the goal for us in the spring was consistency and, you know, emotional and mental health, and it wasn't academic learning.
Elementary school students automatically pass their spring trimester. For the new school year, daily attendance and grading expectations are more normal.
He can't just, you know, check out, like was kind of what I think everybody did last spring.
She says the first few weeks will be all about getting logistics and routines down. Rebecca Braun has a 12-year-old in seventh grade who's been questioning the value of school this week.
The real stress, I think, this fall has been trying to establish that school matters, school's important, and you do have to do it. And that's something that I didn't really have to do before.
He used to opt into more challenging classes, but since things went remote, he's lost interest. She's not sure if that's normal adolescent stuff or a product of these strange times. Braun says she's been spending a lot of time keeping him on task and off distractions like YouTube and video games. And yet the technology for class has its own frustrations. For example, she said one of his first assignments was to make a digital poster to introduce himself, but just getting photos into the school system was a significant hurdle.
So we finally did it, but it took a lot of both of our time and effort to just get that kind of simple assignment done because of the technical challenges.
School officials hope to gradually resume in-person classes when public health conditions improve. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
People all around the country say they're getting mysterious packages in the mail from overseas. Inside are little packets of seeds they did not order or ask for. Agriculture officials say they are likely part of a worldwide internet-related scam. The seeds could also harm the environment. KTOO's Matt Miller has more.
Rhonda Guest says she wanted to do something nice for her church in Juneau. She was looking for seeds and bulbs that would bloom just in time for services next Easter. She found them on the discount shopping app Wish. All she had to do was pay the shipping. She tracked the packages through Malaysia and China, but they didn't arrive for a couple of months.
I was so excited.
That turned to confusion when Guest opened the mailers. She wasn't even sure if they were what she had ordered.
Some of it's not identified, and there's no instructions from DCs on how to do it yourself. So I thought that was weird. I mean, usually when you order something, it gives instructions on how to prepare it or whatever.
Guest is not the only one. The state has received at least 50 such reports from all around Alaska already this summer. Alaskans got seed packages from places like the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific, Kazakhstan, and China. In some cases, the seeds mysteriously arrive in mailboxes unsolicited. Alaskans did not even order them.
These seeds are not coming in legally because they're not being sent as seeds. They're being sent as jewelry or some other kind of non-agricultural product.
David Shady, head of the Alaska Division of Agriculture, says it's happening all across the country, and there are a few theories why.
What the USDA believes is a brushing scheme to where these organizations send out packages that are not necessarily solicited and then write reviews to boost their scores on the Internet.
In other cases, people are ordering what they believe are U.S. seeds through Amazon or another retailer, but they're arriving from overseas.
We really don't need unintended seeds growing and invasive coming in. And there is, a low probability of pathogens being on these seeds. So we're also having a look at, is there any kind of disease or virus or bacteria, anything along those lines that might come in on the seeds.
Shady says they're investigating some seeds that were already planted in South Central Alaska. He says, don't do that. Don't even open the clear plastic baggies they come in. He says, call his office in Palmer. Tell them how you got them, and then prepare to send the seeds to them. They'll pass them off to the U.S. Department of Agriculture for an examination which will determine if they're a weed or invasive species or contain some disease. And that's exactly what Rhonda Guest did. Garden experts suggest ordering seeds directly from a reputable U.S. source and not through giant e-commerce websites like Wish or Amazon. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The phone number for the Division of Agriculture in Palmer is 745-7200. The Bering Sea pollock fishing fleet was going about its business Wednesday afternoon when it encountered something unusual, a flotilla of Russian military ships along with at least one submarine. Steve Elliott captains the Vesterålen, one of the dozen or so trawlers that were fishing about 200 miles southwest of St. Lawrence. The American boats were all clustered densely within a few miles, and it would have been easy for the Russians to go around, Elliott says. But they weren't interested. He describes the scene this way, over a satellite phone.
There were three bigger vessels that were one right after another in a straight line, and they pretty much told us that they were not going to deviate from course and that we needed to be out of their way. They made that very clear.
Two more smaller support ships trailed behind, and one of them tried to convince Elliott to move. He says he told the Russians that he was in the middle of fishing and would rather not, and they ultimately steered around him. The Bering Sea pollock fleet sometimes fishes not far from Russia, and it's not unusual for them to see the Russian Coast Guard or hear Russian on the radio. But in the three decades that he's been fishing, Elliott says he's never seen anything like what happened with the Russian military on Wednesday, which he says felt something like a flex.
Yeah, I think everybody's jaws were dropped a little bit that this was kind of happening. For them to come right through the middle of us, it was almost like they were making a point, like we're not moving.
While the fishing fleet wasn't aware of it, the Russians were running pre-planned exercises that the American military knew about in advance, says U.S. Coast Guard spokesman Kip Wadlow. The exercises took place inside what's known as America's exclusive economic zone, but that only reserves fishing rights for U.S. vessels, and there's nothing stopping other ships from being there.
As far as vessel transit goes, if folks are out there sailing commercially, military, or otherwise, it's free for them to do so.
NORAD says they're closely monitoring the submarine. This is KTOO News.